Welcome back to Perfect Pitch with Nick Healy-Hutchinson and his fresh approach to the world of classical music. Whether you're an expert or a beginner, old or young, Perfect Pitch has something for everyone.
Let's get things underway today with something high-spirited and easy on the ear. If I'm absolutely honest, I've always felt that the music of the 18th century Austro-Hungarian composer Franzón Szupay to be verging on the kitsch. That's a label which opens me to the charge of being a classical music snob, which I hope by now you'll know I'm not. As the son of a Hungarian mother, the more accessible music of the Strauss family was never far away, and I'm more than happy to defend their output. Von Szupay wrote dozens of operas, very few of which ever got performed in his lifetime with any notable success or regularity, nor has there been any discernible rush to change that. But some of the overtures to these operas have stood the test of time, and it's these that have kept his name from falling into obscurity. The Light Cavalry is one such. To delve into the technical for just one moment, this is slightly bang crash wallop stuff. But if you like your brass and cymbals, you're in for a treat. The tune which beckons the cavalry to charge is announced by trumpets in the distance, and it's a heck of a good one too. Almost out of context, there's also a moody passage on the strings, which could quite easily come out of a Brahms Hungarian Rhapsody. Herbert von Karajan conducts the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra.
Thank you.
As you know, I'm quite picky about the recordings I select, and I did listen to a fair few here. As a Hungarian, I expect George Schulte fancied himself as something of an authority on this music, but I think he must have had another appointment to get to after this session in the recording studio. The one we've just listened to took 7.5 minutes, and Schulte manages to shave off over 1.5 minutes of that with the Vienna Philharmonic. No cavalry in the world is ever going to keep up with this. So Schulte did not get my vote on that one, but I'm happy to restore the balance here. From the moment Tchaikovsky died, just 9 days after conducting his last symphony, his sixth, there's been no end of speculation about the contextual circumstances. There's little evidence to support those who claim it's some kind of warning of his pending demise, but the highly unusual decision to have a slow and manifestly melancholic movement for its finale only served to enhance the gossip. Much less attention is given to the fact that, according to his brother, he was in very high spirits at the time, and had actually turned down the chance to compose a requiem, saying that he was in no mood for such an undertaking. But that doesn't make such good press, does it? We're going to listen to the penultimate movement, the Allegro Molto Vivace. It's just the kind of music which fits Schulte's passionate approach with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Its emphatic closing bars have tricked many an audience into thinking it's the end of the symphony, bringing an instinctive release of applause. It's not hard to see why. And why not anyway?
Thank you.
I want to conclude today with a piece from an episode a couple of years back, because I notice it's not been picked up by new listeners yet, and I can't believe that anyone who's heard it before will object. If you're familiar with Verdi's Requiem, you'll also know that it's the Dies Irae which gets more airtime than any other part. That's all fine and dandy because it's very loud and popular and so on, but it's also a great shame. It's a monumental work requiring large choral forces and four soloists. Wherever you listen, it's hard to imagine that the closing passage, the Libera me, free me from eternal death, won't resonate with you somehow. The more so for this perfectly sublime singing. Mirella Freni had one of those truly standout voices. In this final part of the Requiem, the soprano is tested to her absolute limits. We get this tumultuous opening, which then moves to the familiar Dies Irae. It's what follows that stands Freni out from any other I've heard, live or on a recording. A solo oboe heralds the beginning of 5 minutes of a singing masterclass. Verdi closes his section with two words, Requiem, Requiem, and it's here where he makes an astonishing demand on his soloist. The second Requiem is an octave leap, 8 notes, from a B-flat to a high B-flat. That's 1.5 notes lower than the infamous top C. As if that wasn't hard enough on its own, Verdi marks the score PPP, which is almost the equivalent of a whisper in singing. Very few people achieve both the leap and the level of quietness, and it's always a nervy moment in a live performance. In fact, I've never heard it done in the way that you're about to hear it now. And having reached the note, without even a hint of a strain, Freni then holds on to it for a full 10 seconds. If you think I'm bigging this up a bit, you'd be right, but I bet you'll appreciate her skill more for knowing the challenge she has set. Freni does actually go on to a high C, but I imagine it's a great deal easier for being able to climb her way there and being able to belt it out with maximum volume. Wherever this finds you, may it bring you comfort, peace, and private solace. The Libera me from Verdi's Requiem is sung here by Mirella Freni with the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra and Choir, conducted by Herbert von Karajan.
That's it for this week. Nick will be back again soon. Please rate and comment on any of the previous episodes, and if you like what you hear, take a moment to press the follow button, as it helps to spread the word.